There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
I don't know about you, but I watched the VP debate last evening. And it wasn't long into the debate that I kind of said to myself, rather than having a second Trump-Harris debate, I almost would prefer a Waltz-Vance debate again. Because I got to be quite honest with you, folks. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, or otherwise, those two guys did a much better job of articulating the policies, the accomplishments, what they hope to accomplish, and why, than the presidential candidates. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt. I was like listening. I love the cordial nature of it. I love that there was a sense of mutual respect. I love that, you know, they weren't stepping all over each other. And when they did, they apologized and stepped back and stopped and let the other person finish. Those things happen during the course of a good, you know, debate. And that's what it seemed like to me. It was just a good debate. And I don't think either one of them really hurt themselves, obviously. I'm not sure how much of an impact it's going to have on the election. But if anything, for me, it was emblematic of how we should conduct ourselves in the interaction, in the articulation of differing opinions and ideologies, to make the strong points, to point out the other's weak points, and to fact check one another. It's the obligation of those that are involved in a debate, certainly not the moderators. Unfortunately, not unlike the last debate, the debate moderators, Margaret Brennan and Nora O'Donnell, they had to engage in gratuitous editorial. It's no big surprise. I mean, if you just look at their track record over the past several years of where they are, they're very much partisan. And that's a shame, quite frankly. You know, it's okay to hold the incumbent administration accountable for what they're doing, whether or not you are a Democrat or a Republican or otherwise. In fact, they should get the most of the critique, the look-see, the investigation, because they are the ones in power. A lot of people have lost sight of that, right? They're like, Newell, why are you pointing out everything about Kamala Harris? Well, because she is in a position of authority. She's complaining and pointing out things that need to be done. Well, damn, well, do it. I mean, it's that simple. And I think it's legitimate. It doesn't mean you're trying to help the other candidate. It means you're pointing out the frailties of the administration that sits in front of you and presents itself to you as voters, constituents, taxpayers, each and every day. That gratuitous editorial, in many respects, was really misleading. And it didn't tell the whole story, and I think at some point in time, J.D. Vance had had enough of it. The other thing that was interesting for me was there were two points in the debate that I thought were kind of defining moments for the debate. One, and I'll just start with, because this came up earlier in the debate than the other, is Vice President nominee Waltz's inability to just squarely answer the question about his puffing or misdirection, or I don't know if it was a lie or not. I don't know what his intent was about where he was during the Tiananmen Square incident. And obviously, when people started to fact check him, they figured out that he was not in China at that point in time. He was in Hong Kong much later in that summer. And I think, you know, the point that I would make is that these have this series of when he misspeaks about certain things in his life that he identifies as defining moments. In order to make those defining moments more relevant, he engages in puffing. He tries to associate it with other things to make it more relevant to his story. It was interesting, you know, because he talked about, he went through this long dialogue about talking about China and going there as a teacher and being involved in this program that was actually partially sponsored by the Communist Party. One of those trips was his actual a trip to participate in this program, but it was also his honeymoon. And he planned his wedding on the fifth anniversary of the Tiananmen Square crackdown. And when his wife was asked about it, her response was, he wanted to have a date he'll always remember. Curious, right? How many U.S. citizens, Americans, have a desire to memorialize something in your life that's important to you on the same date as Tiananmen Square? I don't know. He's the one that coined weird. I just find that a little strange. Now to the second, Vance. I am completely confused, mystified, disappointed, and everything else with the Republicans' inability to say that Trump lost the election. It's apparent. It's relevant. With all of the litigation that had gone on, did they find some impropriety? Yes. Did it rise to the level of going to make a difference in the election? No. If we had the evidence, you bring the evidence. They did not bring the evidence. Whose fault is that? It's not the Democrats' fault. It's the fault of the individuals making the accusations. You can accuse all you want, but if you can't bring it, then give it up. It's one of the reasons why I said in the aftermath of January 6th, rearview mirror for Donald Trump. Because I knew then, and I know now, that this issue was not going to go away for him. And it was a disappointing moment. It came towards the end of the debate where I thought Vance had a little bit of the upper hand and was kind of able to push back on some of the things that Waltz had said after a slow start by him. And then I think he found his footing on a couple of issues that he felt more comfortable with. That's not uncommon. You see that in debates all the time, if I'm going to be fair about this, you know. And I have to say to J.D. Vance, you know, they were trying to make a big deal out of the facts that Tim Walz was nervous. He says, well, I certainly would hope that he would be nervous. He goes, I was nervous. They even asked J.D. Vance, they said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous were you? He said, 11. He goes, it's the biggest moment of my political life. I'm in front of millions upon millions upon millions of people. Of course I'm going to be nervous. He goes, I didn't catch the nervousness of Waltz. He should be nervous. It's a big moment for both of us. Not a big deal. Let's move on. Very honest response. And I love the way that he handled it. I did not like the way he handled the question. Just answer it. After all this time, for Christ's sake, answer it. He did not win the election. Shit. How easy was that? Right? How easy is it to say that? It doesn't mean you embrace ballot harvesting. It doesn't mean that in light of the pandemic, that the violation of state rules and procedures were circumvented in order to accomplish things relative to voting. It doesn't mean you embrace any of those things. And those are all things that went down for whatever reason. But when it came time to prove whether or not there was enough impropriety to change the outcome of the election, they didn't bring it. They tried. They gave it the good old college try, but it did not happen. Why do we have such a difficult time admitting it? It was a big disappointment for me. It was a huge upside opportunity for J.D. Vance to just say, no, we didn't. And that's why on January 20th, when it was time to ride off into the sunset and exit the White House, they did. End of the story. But as though we don't want to bring an end to the story. For what reason, I don't know. I'm completely and totally mystified by it. I don't think that is the driving force motivating the base of the Republican Party, because there's so much other red meat out there to talk about relative to the ideology and the policies of the Biden-Harris administration. There's a huge chasm on a whole lot of issues. That can't be the one that's motivating Republicans to go to the polls. It doesn't mean that you don't look at election processes across the country. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be concerns, right? Like Governor Newsom in California the other day signing a bill in advance of this election saying, in California, you no longer have to present a driver's license in order to vote. Why? Why is that a good thing? I don't think it's a good thing at all. I can't get a prescription. I can't pick that up without giving my driver's license. I can't get tickets at will call without presenting my driver's license. I can't get on a plane without presenting my driver's, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And these are all a lot of the things that we have to present a driver's license for, like when you go to Social Security and you want to get benefits and this, that, otherwise, or anything else. You have to have all of these things done, many of which are about providing the necessities of life, right? Prescriptions, present your driver's license. Why not voting? I've yet to have somebody explain that to me. That for all of the other things that go on in life, people have this uncanny ability to get themselves to the DMV and get a driver's license. But when it comes to voting, all of a sudden that's a huge impediment. People can't do it. There's so many folks out there that can't get a driver's license. But for all of the other necessities of life, benefits and otherwise, and you're called upon to present a driver's license all the time. I don't understand. I cannot connect these dots. Why are we continuing to fight that fight? So the Republicans have some legitimate issues here and questions about why that's a big issue that Democrats simply just can't answer. And it's the same thing when Democrats speak of illegal immigrants in this country don't vote in federal elections. Well, that's not true. They do. We're not sure about the numbers because we don't have strong state systems that are actually auditing that in many cases. Because the manner in which the process works, that In some states, on election day, you can register to vote right there at the precinct. So there are a bunch of different things out there that are a challenge that kind of lend themselves a little bit to fraudulent behavior, people that want to manipulate the system or otherwise. And now I got a text, don't need a license for prescriptions. Well, you're wrong, not all, but certain prescriptions you do. I picked up one yesterday. I presented a license. They asked for it. So you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, so the reality is that why is that? But those were the two moments, right? This inability to say that you actually lost the election and move on. And Waltz admitting he's a knucklehead. He's puffing. He's connecting dots that are not there to make that story more relevant to what it is that he's trying to talk about. Is it worth it? Obviously not, right? Why do you need to do that? Well, I just kind of get talking. And he didn't have a legitimate answer, and he looked goofy when he was trying to explain it away.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
You know, so, and got another one. I pick up my wife's prescriptions without a driver's license. Let me say it again. It all depends what the prescription is. Okay, folks? I'm not making this up. You want to call the pharmacy? I mean, am I the only one that's ever had to provide a driver's license? I don't think so. I don't think so. But back to the point. Don't need to make it more relevant than what it is. But in the end, the moderators, I'll probably give them, a C+. They couldn't help themselves at all with the gratuitous editorializing on many occasions. And obviously the manner in which some of the questions were phrased were more aggressive as they were asked of J.D. Vance than they were of Tim Walz. That was blatantly evident. I was looking at the questions last evening. It's like, you know, why go through that exercise? In the aftermath of the breakdown of what went on in the previous debate on ABC, and the fact that even their ratings went down as a result of that, people stopped watching David Muir on TV, so much so it appeared in the ratings. And then they start scrambling. Why would you take that risk? Why not just play it down the middle? And the truth be told is that a lot of the mainstream media, quite frankly, are worried. A lot of folks think they're worried about Donald Trump being elected because of Donald Trump's policies and things of that nature. I don't believe that for a second. I believe they don't want Donald Trump in power to minimize the mainstream media. And he would probably do it. Because in many cases, they've not been completely and totally fair to him. Now, a lot of what he's gone through, he's brought on himself. I've said that over and over and over again. But that's what they fear. They fear being minimized. They don't want to be minimized. There's no doubt Democrats make the mainstream media more relevant. In fact, they use them quite often. They use them in order to gain successes. And with that, the mainstream media has the ability to get ratings, to get the clicks. That's what it's all about. If they were honest. That is what they fear. Because in the 4 years of the previous Trump administration, guess what? They were minimized. And they know it. So it's going to be interesting to see in a couple of days what the polls reveal as it relates to the public's reaction to last night's debate. But in the end, I enjoyed listening to those two gentlemen debate topics a lot more than the previous debate of the two presidential candidates. And for me, I'd rather see them have another debate. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.